What are the midterm elections?
2 years into the American president's four-year term, the entire House of Representatives stands for election. That's 435 seats. At the same time, about one-third of the 100-member Senate also stands for election. These elections are sometimes seen as a progress report for the standing president, and historically that report has been poor. Since 1934, the president's party has lost seats all but three times. The last time things went well was in 2002. That was when support for President George W. Bush's fight against al-Qaeda was popular enough to net the Republicans 10 more seats in Congress.
There seems to be a frenzied media reaction this time around. Is that normally the case? How's the situation looking at the moment?
For the House, the Cook Political Report, which is a nonpartisan political tracker based in Washington, they're estimating that the Democrats will suffer a net loss of 48 to 60 seats, maybe even more. A turnover of just 39 seats would tip the majority status into Republican hands. Now, Democrats have seen this writing on the wall for some time, and for the past couple of weeks, Obama has been campaigning to help his party. But if anything, the riptide sucking them out to sea has seemed to have grown stronger. Right now, only 185 seats are going to be likely Democratic, while another 200 would go to the Republicans, with about 50 in the toss-up column. In the Senate, it's looking like it's going to be probably a 50-50 split, which would mean the Democrats will be losing their controlling majority for a razor-thin one instead.
But is this still different in some way?
Well, this is the first time that the Tea Party movement has become a significant player on an election stage. We first saw it back in January when a Tea Party-backed Republican named Scott Brown upset his Democratic rival in a Senate race to replace longtime Democrat Ted Kennedy, who had died. The Tea Party has also mounted a serious threat against other stalwarts like Harry Reid of Nevada. Others don't seem to have such good chances, and in some cases, their running for office could even backfire and land a Democrat in office.
What is the Tea Party, in a nutshell?
Well, the Tea Party is not a party per se, but it's a movement largely within the Republican Party that began to gain traction back in about 2009. It's this grab bag mix of libertarianism and anti-interventionist neoconservatism, if you will. They generally believe that federal spending, the deficit, taxes, that these should all be dramatically slashed to help the economy. Most of all, they're frustrated with big government. They tend to be skeptical of policies created to battle global warming. They're pro-oil and gas exploration. And most would prefer to repeal Obama's health care, if not even derail his entire agenda. They're also pretty controversial. Sarah Palin, who, as we all remember, ran unsuccessfully on the ticket with John McCain against Obama in 2008, she often endorses Tea Party candidates and has said on numerous occasions that Obama needs to declare war on Iran to get reelected. Another Tea Party candidate proposed solving the illegal immigration question in the U.S. right now by using East German-style tactics, meaning building a Berlin Wall, which many have found utterly ridiculous, if not scary, and even offensive.
I mean, I'm obviously neutral, being both professional journalist and Swiss, but they're insane, aren't they?
You know, they are indeed controversial. It's hard to sort of make a blanket statement about them, but they are indeed seen as being sort of on the right side of the Republican stance, that they do sometimes say things that many find offensive or even outlandish, such as there was a candidate here recently who insisted that she didn't know about the separation of church and state, which is one of the founding principles of the U.S. Constitution.
It doesn't sound as though they've got much a realistic chance of getting into power, but they have shifted the dynamic of American politics.
Well, they have. Basically, what they're trying to do is they feel that the Republican Party has drifted too far from its core principles. And so they are basically launching these campaigns against what they call RINOs, which are Republicans in name only. For instance, Mike Castle of Delaware, he was a good example there, where if you talk to Republicans, they say Mike Castle was not Republican enough for them, and so the Tea Party has come out and said, you know, we want to get real Republicans back into office. So they're trying to pull everything back more towards the right, having felt that it's now going more towards the center.
Now, I can't help noticing that you are American. Where are you from?
I'm from the East Coast originally. Most recently lived on the West Coast and have spent most of my life out that way, in Oregon.
Are you excited about these midterm elections? Do Americans abroad get excited about these midterm elections?
You know, not as much as they would for a presidential election. The problem is that when you live overseas for a while, your relationship to the state where you last voted tends to fade, whereas your relationship to your country can often grow stronger. So when you have these midterm elections and people, especially in the House, the voting districts are broken up by geographical regions, and so you might not know exactly what are the issues at play, you know, within your particular region of your state. Whereas voting for a president, of course, you know, carries much more significance, and people can definitely get much more fired up about that.
You've spoken to a couple of Americans living in Switzerland who are politically active on both sides, on the Republican side and the Democrat side. What did they have to say?
Well, of course, if you talk to the Republicans, they are quite frankly rather surprised that all of a sudden that this is going so well for them. If you remember back in 2008, when Obama was elected, there was a massive outpouring of support around the world, even including here in Switzerland. And Ed Flaherty, who's the head of the Republicans abroad in Switzerland, said, you know, back in 2008, it was almost as if they didn't matter. It was like they couldn't compete with a message of hope and change. Now, of course, they disagreed with the meat behind that message. But things have dramatically turned around for them. For the Democrats here, this is very worrying. This is very worrying for them. They see it as a recipe for gridlock, as a way of all of a sudden blocking important legislation that they see that needs to happen, needs to get pushed through. But for here in Switzerland, a power shift like this probably will not mean too much, in all honesty, because things like this take time to sort of, you know, gain some traction and momentum. It's not like all of a sudden the hunt for illegal assets or undeclared tax money is going to disappear. Governments all over the world are desperate for money, and they're going to find ways to get dollars any way that they can.
Swiss banking secrecy, has that played a role in the midterm elections? Has that featured?
Again, I think it depends on who you ask. If you ask the Republicans here in Switzerland, they see that more as an invasion of privacy. Now, individual liberty is a big buzzword among Republicans, and so they would be quick to say yes, things like this sort of, you know, rally the Republican base and get them to push big government out, get out of our lives, that kind of thing. If you talk to the Democrats don't see that as really a big motivating factor, especially if you try to get them to explain why is it that things are going badly now for them. They say, well, it's economic. But the Republicans also feel that while banking secrecy and this assault sort of on so-called tax havens may have spurned, you know, their base to get out and vote, they also see it as a vote against sort of entrenched Washington old guard politics, that it's time to sort of clean house and get new people in there who are ready to bring a fresh face to Washington. And the Democrats say, you know, this is the same battle cry we used in 2008 when we were looking to change the guard, that this is something that everyone says when elections come around and they're trying to get their party in and the other one out.
Your predictions for the midterm elections, it looks like Obama might get a black eye. But you think he'll get reelected in 2012?
That's really hard to say. There's so much that can happen between now and the next 2 years. I mean, if we look just at what happened between 2008 and now, I mean, in 2008, if you said, could he get elected in the next 4 years, the answer would have been absolutely yes. But things have obviously changed here in the past 2 years. Now, again, that is something that is typical, that is something that I'm sure political experts had been anticipating and expecting. I don't think they quite anticipated that some of Obama's reforms would have created such a backlash that they have now, to the point where the Democrats are going to lose for sure the House and basically their controlling majority in the Senate. Looking 2 years ahead, you know, if the economy turns around, things go well, you know, people's memories tend to be a little short, and so they don't see these things as the culmination of years and years of policy, but rather who's in office right then. Things go well, sure, he'll get elected. Things go poorly, you know, maybe we'll see a Tea Party candidate.